Father in heaven, God, we say thank you. The writer says, I will bless the Lord, and this will be at all times. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. And Lord, when the humble hear thereof, they'll be glad. In moments like these, Lord, we just are overjoyed to tell you how much we appreciate you being the sovereign, all-sufficient Savior. In moments like these, we remember that you've been better to us than even we have been to ourselves. It's in moments like these when we rejoice because you indeed look beyond our faults and met every need. When you could well have cut us off, condemned us and crucified us, you put your arms around us. And you loved us for just who we were. Thank you. Some folk may not understand that, but for those of us who've been through hard things and hard times, your love kept us. And every time we think about it, how far you brought us and how much you've gotten us through. Because, Lord, the truth be known, in this room, we got over more than we went under. And we just bless your name, for you're wonderful. Now, God, let this word again come alive in us. Let us hear what you are saying to the church. God, we need to hear from you. And we know that this is the time and the place. Speak to us, Father, we pray. And God, again, forgive us of our sins and have mercy. And we bless your name. And I pray, God, that you will use me again. What we've shared in our moments together, we can publicly discuss it now. And someone would cry out, what must I do to be saved? Save somebody today. Salvation is near. And in the day that we hear your voice, Lord, we will not harden our hearts, but we will say yes. Redeemed of the Lord, said together, amen, amen, and amen. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and bless the Lord. You didn't come this far just to look cute. You can lift up your hands and just shout with the voice of triumph that God did it. God did it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There would be times in the church that I grew up in when the Spirit of the Lord would certainly be moving with fervor and it would get real intense and somebody with a good church voice would just start singing, I know I've been changed. The angels in heaven then signed my name. And they before you knew it, nobody said they were out of order. Nobody looked at them and rolled their eyes. Everybody just got involved. And the whole church, as we would say down south, just went in because they realized that the Lord has done something really wonderful in their lives. Amen. And they didn't sing it like they were dying. They sang with life. And, I just every now and then wonder, when will we have a church like that again? When somebody will just start lifting up praises and folk don't get upset with them. And, you know, that's church. You know, we've got to get past where we think that everything got to be done just by the program. The Bible teaches us to let the Lord move and let him have his way. Amen. You can't say, use me, Lord, and then tell him not right now. Amen. We get so programmed and so traditionalized that I just really believe that there are still spirit-led people that want to give God all they can. And we used to sing that also, that this may be the last time. I don't know. And boy, they would sing that, and that would be one of those songs, Minister Tyler, that you couldn't shut that one off. Looked like every time it started to wane down a little bit, somebody would think of another one. And we just kept it going. Amen. And now we come to church to leave church. Yeah, we arrived considering what time we're going to leave. Boy, we're leaving too much on the line. John 6, please. John 6. To all of our friends and our guests today, thank you for coming. I've been informed that we have some guests from the great state of Florida that are true Seminole fans. And we are glad you're here. You are welcomed in this Seminole territory. And I think that we are blessed of God when we can travel and go places and are met with a rich welcome in any place. And to our guests who have come, we thank you for being with us. There's so many places you could go, and you're here with us, and we just believe, God, that you've come to be a blessing to us as well.
That's my song. Y'all starting to learn how to do that. That's a warrior song. That's my boy. Y'all got to learn how to enjoy things, I'm telling you. That's a blessing. Thank you so much. John 6, if you will, please. In the New Testament of the Bible says, beginning at verse 1, after this, Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. And a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went. That's good enough right there. Because they saw his miracles as he healed the sick. Then Jesus went up into the hills and sat down with his disciples around him. That's another good one right there. It was nearly time for the annual Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a great crowd of people, watch this now, climbing the hill looking for him. That's another good one. Turning to Philip, he asked, Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people? John makes it clear that he was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, as most of us would have, it would take a small fortune to feed them.
that Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. That's a preaching text right there too. There's a young boy here with five barley loaves and two fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Tell everyone to sit down. You may be seated. That verse serves two purposes. Amen. Do me a little favor, brothers and sisters. I want to lift up again where verse 8 comes in and Andrew gets involved in this dialogue between the Lord and Philip. And I want you to be very aware of the fact that Jesus is talking to Philip. He does not call a committee meeting. He doesn't say, well, let us go over here and talk about how we're going to handle this, what we're going to do. He's just talking to Philip. People are continually climbing the hill. Please do not miss the information in the text, because it is important to where we're going. But the text reminds us that this was not an auditorium. This was not an amphitheater. It was not a banquet hall. Jesus is really trying to get away from folk. He's had a pretty long day. He started out earlier at the pool, at the gates, the sheep gate. He started out earlier with a man who had been lying in his condition for 38 years and dealt with that and was moving on. And the text would say to us earlier in John 5, or at a later state in John 5, that while Jesus was in town going through the bazaar, the market, he runs into this same gentleman again. And what you also, Ashley, will discover is that the guy was also looking for Jesus. Text makes it clear that he was not necessarily looking for Jesus to pour a seed into him or to really give thanks to him, really. He'd been handled by the Pharisees. And they're not altogether in agreement with what wonderment has happened in his life. And he's really trying to find Jesus to take some of the heat off himself. Because they ask him, well, who said all this stuff to you? And he said, well, it was that guy. I don't know really who he is. And if you are a student of the gospel, you will remember that after this, Jesus kind of just went on about his business as per Jesus. He just does that. He doesn't really ever hang around looking for any glory or looking for the gloat moment. He just kind of does his thing. Tell your neighbor, Jesus just does his thing. He just kind of does it. And so they run into each other again. And Jesus says to him, I see you're doing all right. You look like you're having a pretty good run of it. He said, but please be on notice that you must not sin any further or something worse might happen to you. And in about that same time, the Pharisees show up. Apparent to me, Deacon Davis, that they've been following him, hoping he would lead them to Jesus. Y'all missed the shout. How many people are following you, hoping you might lead them to Jesus? You do know that, thank you. If you've had an encounter with him, folk would generally think you're going to have another one. Y'all ain't helping me at all. I don't plan to stand here long. My back hurts for some reason, but he's being followed by the Pharisees, because they said to themselves, it makes sense to us that if this guy has got hooked up like that with Jesus, let's just see where he goes from here. And he leads them to Jesus. How wonderful. I wonder again, how many people, if they were to follow you, would end up in the company of Jesus? Ask your neighbor, where you going?
when you leave here. I'll give you some time. So there they are. They meet with him, and he comes over and they take over the conversation with Jesus and they say to him, Starling, that it's unlawful for you to have done what you did. You ain't got no business healing folk and stuff like that. So Jesus says, well, you know, my father don't work like that. And we do kingdom business a little different. And he reminds them, he said, listen, whatever my father is capable of doing, so can I. And if you all would come down off of your sophomoric high places, so could you. I'm not starting into trouble. I'm reading the text. The Bible said that they just didn't like it. So Jesus says, well, you've got belief issues. That's really what's bothering you. You're not altogether upset about the fact that this guy got healed. You've got some structural problems. And anybody that believes in my message and believes in God can have the same wonderful life. And my question this hour is, how you plan on living your life? So they move on, and after this, Deacon Davis, Jesus spends a rather lengthy amount of time talking about things and setting up the church, if you will. And he reminds them of some of the things that they've already encountered in the past. He said, well, you know, you all listen to John the Baptist. You've been around and you've seen some things. And he said, I just thought maybe it would be fitting for me to just, you know, go ahead and, you know, do what I would do. And then he said this, Jesse, he said, and please be advised that your approval or disapproval don't matter to me. Basically, oh, Sister Davis says, yeah, I can't say it. Basically, Jesus is saying, I don't give a rip whether y'all approve of what I do or not. He said, because you don't know the God that I know, apparently. And please understand, I'm not here showing out. I'm here representing my Father. And so after an encounter like that, Jesus says, you know, well, you don't want to hear what I got to say anyway. I'm just going to go on about my business. So the text said that Jesus crossed over. Your grandmama told you that, didn't she? She told you when you were young that if folk on this side of the street giving you trouble, just cross over to the other side. Look at them and say, don't make me cross over. No. So, I got to go. Jesus just kind of goes over to the other side. He says, come on, fellas, let's go. And now please understand that Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee. The text then says, Deacon Antrim, that the crowd did also. Y'all can't miss this because this is critical. We would later discover, that's why I love Bible. It gives such wonderful story. We would later discover, Deacon Antrim, that there are 5,000 men. Can I ask y'all a question? Do you have any clue how long and what logistics it would take to get 5,000 men from one side of the river to the other? His grandma would say, y'all mill that around a minute. Didn't take all day now, because the text says that Jesus notices this huge crowd. Now, we're talking not just men folk, but our spiritual imagination requires that we also realize there are women and children. Some of us can't even do a good fire drill on the job. Not messing it up. We're talking logistics, Lord. We've got 5,000. There are the disciples and Jesus. That's only a boat or two. That you take about 2 boats to get that done, and they can make their way on across. Please understand, the Sea of Galilee ain't the River James.
not in the places where you cross over the little bridge. We're talking about the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus and 12, that's all right, we can do that. You know, we can go to, all right, we over here. But how you get 5,000 men and women for nightfall? Maybe a day or two go by. We're talking about church folk who can't make church 11 o'clock. But they all got over there. And so Jesus now noticing, all right, we crossed. Jesus said, well, let's go up a little higher. Maybe they'll leave us alone then. Let's go up the mountain. So Jesus and the disciples are going on up. And the Bible says, when he looks around, here they come. I'm going to ask a silly question, but where were you last time Jesus was in the community? Did you come last Sunday? Did you come Sunday before that? Did you come when Jesus was in the community, or did you decide you had other things to do?
Matter quiet.
You see them, don't you? They're coming. Jesus notices them and says, well, now watch this now. The Bible says, and we're right there in the text. The Bible says they're looking for Jesus. What you don't see, they didn't come looking for no meal. They didn't come because it was a dinner being served at the church. They did not come because there wasn't going to be no food. Do recent events come to mind? They ain't serving? I ain't going. They went after that which was important, Jesus. Question. What's your motive for coming? I heard four. Nobody want to talk to me. Am I wearing the wrong color? You understand that Jesus knows why they're coming. But here's the kicker, Harmony. Always be advised that when Jesus knows why you're coming, he also knows what you need. That's why you shouldn't miss an audience with Jesus. Because even when you are coming without, he knows what you need. Jesus could have looked at the boy and said, well, I know why they're coming. But I also know what they don't know they need. Bible said that they come on up and Jesus looks over at Philip. Now notice again how Jesus creates an environment for ministry. Understand me, beloved of God, your responsibility as the elect of God and those whom some should follow should drive you to always look for an opportunity for ministry. Why I didn't get all them amens that I was looking for? Whenever you are in the company of Jesus, you should always think to yourself, there's going to be a ministry opportunity. And you should always be ready for Jesus to ask you to participate. Show this quiet. Jesus says, Philip, where can we purchase enough food to feed all them folk that's coming up that hill there? Philip's eyes got big. Philip, being the kind of person that most of us are, looked at what he did not have first. And he gives away his greatest concerns first. Mark me well here, people. If you talk to folk, listen to the first thing they say to you when you present them with a problem. They will always reveal their innermost fear first. Really, what Philip is saying is, let us make us an Ebonic Bible for just a moment. Jesus said, Philip, where can we buy enough to feed all these? What Philip is saying is, Lord, I ain't got no money. And you ain't got that much either. Because I've been hanging around with you and I've been noticing you don't reach in your pocket a lot either. This is the kind of money that our ministry don't have. We don't take up that kind of money around here. So we need to tell these folk to go on now. Stop playing. That's the kind of talk I hear around here too much. I'm talking to folk, asking them how we can do ministry. And all I keep hearing is, we ain't got that kind of money around here. And I'm tired of hearing that. I'm tired of folk giving me your fear rather than your faith. I'm tired of that. I didn't ask you what you're scared of. I asked you what you're bold enough to see that other people don't see. Y'all don't want to help me? I help myself. Jesus says, Philip, that ain't what I thought I'd hear from you. Notice this, though. Andrew listening in. At least he comes with a different angle. Andrew says, Lord, let's jack this little boy lunch. That's what he's saying. He said, at least we can eat. He said, there's a little boy here. Notice now, you see, y'all ain't seen it yet. It's right there. That's ready. Okay. He didn't say, let's jack the little boy. All you holy folk, y'all so deep that you can't take a little jack of the lunch thing. Your deepness don't show in the offering. Your deepness don't show in my Thursday Bible study. It don't show in the Sunday worship. Don't get deep on me now. You're going to get deep, stay deep. Am I preaching good? He said, okay. Here's a young boy here. Now, here's what you got to catch. How does Andrew know what that boy got? Can I tell you how? This is shouting stuff. I believe that Andrew was always looking for ministry. I believe that Andrew is always thinking ministry. On the way up the hill, Andrew said, you know, it's getting late. We're going to do some eating around here in a little while. And that little boy came into his periphery and he said, wonder how many more little boys got lunch. That might be a start right there. So y'all ain't catching it. What we must do as a people of faith is always be looking for a start place. I thought that was going to be a blessing. I put that down and highlighted. I thought that would get some folks shouting. Because instead of us thinking like Philip about what we don't have, we ought to always be gazing and searching and looking for something that we can start with. Can I tell you how many times you have missed blessing yourself? Because instead of looking for a start place, you already wrote yourself off. I ain't gonna never have no car like that. I ain't got that kind of money. I ain't gonna be able to build me no house. I ain't got that kind of money. I can't go to college. I ain't got that kind of money. Look for the start place. Look at your name and say, neighbor, might be you. See, some of y'all didn't even know how to receive that. I would have took that as an encouragement. Some of y'all didn't even want to look at nobody. And when they said it might be you, you went, Don't be looking at me. I ain't giving y'all nothing. And can I tell you that if you close your fist, not only do those who would have received suffer, but you suffer as well. Because not only is your fist closed to God, it's closed to you too. You can't even get nothing out till you open it. That's why some of y'all money don't grow. You done hid it and hid it and hid it. Now you done got the password and the combination. You can't get it out. But if you go in there more frequently, you'll remember what the combination is. I came home the other day, left my key, got a little code on the garage, so I'm going to go through the garage. I don't have no key. I can't get in. Miss Mitchell and Candace gone somewhere spending my money or something. I don't know what it was. The dogs can't let me in. I'm standing at the garage punching in numbers. Well, I couldn't remember the code. I don't use it that much. I'm standing there, and you know I'm mad at everybody. Because they ain't here to let me in. And I'm standing outside, and you know what happens when you stand outside and you want to get in the house. What always happens? Come on, talk to me. I got to go to the bathroom. Now I'm standing there saying, oh, yeah. And brothers, when you 50, you can't do what you did when you was 20. When you 20, you can just say, I ain't going to go. When you 50, your body saying, oh, we going. Either right here or somewhere on the way somewhere. I'm punching. I'm saying, who changed the code? I didn't use it enough to remember it. That's why some of us are not being blessed in the Lord. We ain't using what we got enough to remember how to do it. You ain't looking for the start point. I'm almost finished. The boy sits there. Andrew said, Lord, let's jack his lunch. People still coming up the mountain. Jesus said, watch this now. What? Notice, I'm going to cut it short. I'm not going to finish. Jesus, watch this now. Jesus says, here's the boy with lunch. Jesus says, tell him to sit down. Notice how Jesus does not rebuke him for his start point. Notice now, y'all ain't getting it. Y'all ain't getting it. Jesus does not say, Andrew, that don't make no sense. Jesus does not say, Andrew, that's not going to be enough. Jesus don't say anything negative. What Jesus says is, I'm going to the next level. Can I help you? To stop being stingy. Stop missing your own start point. Jesus will honor the words of your mouth. Jesus will honor even your limited vision. Jesus will honor even when you realize in advance that this might be crazy. I believe if we were to sit there, Andrew might well have said, you know, Lord, this might be crazy, but there's a little boy here with a lunch. How many of you have ever trusted God with that opening statement? Lord, this might don't make no sense here, but I'm going to try this. God, I wish I had some faith warriors. How many of you have ever got on your knees and prayed and had to open your conversation with the Lord by saying, Lord, this may not make sense, but here's what I want to say. Look at your name and say, neighbor. It's a start. Some of you are sitting in a place of destitute. Disappointment, heartache, setback. You're concerned about next. But God said, look at your now. And let it minister to your next. How many times do you sit there and say, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Can I tell you the answer? Do something. Don't just stand there asking that question. Do something. Look for your start point. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, it still might be you. So here's the boy. Okay, I'm going. First thing, Sandra, where are you today? Ms. McKenzie? Okay, because she always encourages me by smiling, because I never get to the points. Come quickly, brother. I want them to know I ain't faking them out. I haven't gotten none of those yet, have I? I haven't even gotten past that, have I? I'm still up here, ain't I? Thank you very much. So I can't waste all y'all time because it's almost 1 o'clock, and I know how y'all feel about your sacred 1 o'clock hour. But notice now, Jesus says, tell him to sit down. Here's the second thing. Some of you may not understand what he's doing when what he's doing is not relevant to what he asked. Y'all missed it. Some of you may not understand why God, in response to what you prayed, says something that doesn't sound like anything to do with what you prayed. They don't go together. Here's the comment. Philip, how do we feed? Andrew said, no. Jesus said, sit down. They don't go together. People sitting down ain't going to feed them. And that's what some of y'all done said to God. Well, Lord, if I do that, what difference that? You just do it. How many of you know that you have missed a blessing because you didn't understand what God said do and you didn't do it? Here's another question. Logistical. You know how long it would take to get the message to 5,000 people plus men and women to just sit down? Here's a kicker. I can't get some of y'all to stand up in the presence of God. I can't get some of y'all to do nothing. I can't get you to give God praise because you think it don't make no difference. You miss your blessing because you don't think that this matches up with that and that matches up. All things work together. I wish y'all would help me preach. Jesus said, tell them to sit down.
And they sit down. Bible says, so they all sat down on the slopes. And all of them, everybody sit down. Everybody sit down. The little boy has no idea. And here's what's really wonderful, Deacon Antrim. He doesn't even get his name wrote down. You would think if we're going to take the boy lunch, John should have said, excuse me, we'll need your name. Some of y'all are more concerned about getting your name wrote down, getting your moment, getting mentioned, that if we don't, I ain't going to do nothing else from them. They ain't even mentioned my name. Nobody care about you. Not like that. Bible says, whatever you do, let your doing be done in secret. And then if you get glory from men, that's it. This little boy, when we get to heaven, those of us who going, this little boy going to be up there, and they're going to say, that's the little boy that gave the lunch. Can I tell you, let somebody else call your name next time. Instead of you worrying about, make sure y'all spell my name right. Put my name on the wall. I want a brick. I want a pew with my, no, just do it. And let somebody else call your name. You can rest assured that the little boy obviously didn't mind. Bible said that they turned to him. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks. Now, I'm not gonna finish. I'm just gonna stop. I've been trying to tell y'all how to get this blessing. I've been telling you how to get this blessing. I've been trying to show you how wonderful your life is designed to be if you put obedience in your life. Y'all ain't hear me. I told you that God wants to use all of us. And whatever you have right now, too many of y'all sitting out there telling me, well, when I get me a better job, I'm a tithe. When I get my bills paid, caught up, I'm a tithe. When I do this and when I do that and when this happened, can I tell you that you're fooling yourself? God wants to use you right now. Sergeant at arms, even though we don't have one, please make note of the fact that the response was muted. Because y'all don't believe me. That's why I'm preaching. This boy left home to be used. How do you say that? Well, first of all, he's there. God never puts us in any place for nothing. See, that again, that's one of them. You ought to just feel better about yourself because you're there. This kid is there with his lunch. Jesus says, little boy didn't say, what am I gonna have if you take my lunch? Oh, it got personal right there, didn't it? Well, if I get that, what am I going to have left? Please understand that what you had belonged to God. And what you have, you ought to give it back to God. Y'all ain't talking to me. If you, listen, you want to really stretch out your blessing. Make the first step, bless God. Please understand that the end of the text, the end of the story shows us that little boy got over, as we used to say in the military, like a fat rat. Because the Bible says, it's right there in the text, they ate all they wanted to eat. And then Jesus said, now let me show you how ministry multiplies. Start collecting. Y'all ain't shouting. Watch this. The text says, Jesus, we'll go, I'll find a shortcut somewhere here. Jesus gives thanks to God and distributes among the people. Afterward, he did the same thing with the fish. Watch this. Oftentimes in ministry, you must understand the process of waiting that leads to greater worship. It's because they were waiting, patient. Now, listen, they got to pass out bread first, then fish. Everybody, ain't nobody complaining. When they brought the bread around, nobody go, well, what's this? That's it. We do that in the church all the time. That's it. For my money, that's it. No. Participate. Then process. That's how life is. So he passed it around, and the Bible says, and all of them ate as much as they wanted. Now, here's where we go. What are you saying to us, Pastor? First of all, I'm saying that you must understand that it all matters. It all matters. Everything from the moment Jesus leaves the shoreline until the moment that everything is collected and accounted for, it all matters. Somebody in this room don't understand that you are the young boy. Somebody in this room, you don't understand. You've got the loaves and the fish. What has got you all twisted up is that you're not participating. Y'all missed it. You have it. It's yours. I know it's yours. God knows it's yours. He gave it to you. And you're thinking to yourself, this ain't gonna make no difference. I'm gonna go, but it ain't gonna make no difference. I'm gonna be there, but it ain't gonna make no difference. Look at your name and say, you're wrong. It matters. First of all, here it is. The kid, nobody knows. You can name what you want. I don't, you can call it what you want. Here's what you must first understand. We'll stop. Here's what you must first understand. In order for us to understand kingdom supply and demand, you must be responsible with your resources. You don't want to talk to me, so I'll talk to you. Fold your arms, put your fingers in your ear, but I'm going to talk to you anyway. Let's just admit this first, that the reason some of us are in the condition we're in is because we have been irresponsible with our resources. All right, let me see if I can make it plain. What if the little boy had ate his lunch at breakfast time? You eat lunchtime. You give to God what belongs to God, not the GMAC. Not to Visa, not to Master. See, y'all ain't talking to me. If you're irresponsible with your resources, you will renege when requested. I know I'm preaching good. If you're irresponsible when you have resource, you will renege when the request comes. How would the text have sounded if Jesus would have stood up and said, Starling McKenzie, you come to me, sir. You were supposed to bring a lunch here today. And Starling had to admit, I ate my lunch for breakfast. And Jesus would have said, you know your father had need of that. How many of you, you ain't got to raise your hand, but just kind of let me know you're here. How many of you know that God gave you stuff some time ago, and when he called for it, you didn't have it because you were irresponsible with your resource. And instead of getting mad at God, what y'all do is repent. That's the third piece, is you need to repent when you renege. Because God never asks us for anything that he has not already supplied. And I know that because the text says, and my God shall supply all my need. So the little boy gives up his lunch because he's responsible with the resource. Why? Because it mattered. What's the next piece to it, Pastor? What the next piece is? Many of us spend too much time as spectators rather than participants. Is this good preaching? The little boy, he could have bowed out, but there are 5,000 spectators besides women and children. There is one participant. Of all, even the disciples get gigged on this one. Of all the people there, this boy launches the ministry. He is the only participant. Him and the Lord. Andrew might have saw him, but he ain't have nothing to give. Philip looked at the financial aspect and said, man, I'm out. Judas supposed to have the money bag, but I don't know where he at. But there are two people who are working together now, Jesus and the boy. Ask your neighbor, would you work with Jesus? Next question, when do you plan to start? I'm going to find my way out here. You said you'll work with, and please understand, I know when you're sitting by stuck up people who don't want to talk to you. But would you work with Jesus? When do you plan to start? I thank God for you because in my vision, in my preparation for this preaching, when I asked that question in my notes, that's what I saw people doing. So I thank God that you went from being a spectator to a participant. If nobody else walks up there today, you validate what God showed you. You are that young boy's lunch today. Blessings on your house.
Amen.
Because you stepped out with what you had. I don't know if it's the last you had. I don't know what you plan to do with it, but you gave it to God. That's all I'm trying to get them to understand. They're sitting out there with their lunch, and they're thinking to themselves, well, I got to eat later. But you just said to God, well, I'm going to give it to you. And when everybody else goes to overflow, I'm going to overflow as well. I'm done.
I made my point. You can do what you want with it. Doors of the church are open. Let's go. I made my point. I'm done. All I'm trying to get y'all to understand is you are the lad's lunch. I'm done. Let's stand on our feet. We going. I'm done. I'm done. I'm not going to kill myself. I'm done. Talk about me out in the street if you want to. I'm done. You proved all I wanted God to do was show me one witness. I asked God if I can get one young boy. I'm done. In my preparation, that's all I wanted to see from God. Would somebody step out for God and give up their lunch? I'm done. I'm done. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your sovereign, your supply, you need to come to him today. Because God is saying to us, I am supply and demand. People talking about this economy, who's going to be president, what tax rate going to be. Jesus said, all I need is one lad that'll give up his lunch. And I'll bless a month from what you gave today. I pray God take us to overflow. Whatever it is, he'll multiply it, that we'll take up 12 baskets. He did it before. Y'all don't know when to thank God. All I'm saying, see, now I know it. Let me say this. Let me tell you. Now you're mad at me. Now you're sitting here rolling your eyes and got your attitude, but I read it to you earlier. Jesus said, your approval or disapproval don't matter to me. All I'm saying to you is, hear the scripture. Live the story. All God wants from you is what he's already gave you. And then he'll give you back. You can rest assured, there's one thing I do know about the story. The little boy got his first. I bet you when we get to heaven and we ask the little boy, when Jesus collected those 12 baskets, and here's another kick that was down in the bottom of the sermon, Brother Johnson. The bottom of the sermon says, and they collected 12 baskets. Let me ask you something. Where them baskets came from? People brought those baskets empty, but they took them back full. Some of y'all don't even want to bring a basket. It's in the sermon. The Bible said they come up there with nothing. Why would you be walking around the Sea of Galilee, Tiberias, with an empty basket? Other than thinking, God might do something. Can I tell you, when you come expecting, your expectations will be filled. They fill up 12 baskets. So when they did, Jesus says, come here, young fellow. Because of what you did today, you're first. Some of y'all don't even want God to use you first. You're so afraid of what you're going to give up that you can't even trust God for what you might get back. I've been blessing God for the latter part of my life under the expectation of whatever I give up, I'm getting more back than I ever give. I know I'll get more back than I ever give. It's a biblical principle. God gives you 100%, you give back 10, you got 90. Simple math. I can't lose giving to God. So I thank you today. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, would you come? Would you come right now? Right now, it's time to go. God bless you. I made my point. That's all I waited on. I just wanted somebody to respond. I said that to God. I said, Lord, this ain't going to work real good, but I'm going to do this. And I said, Lord, if I can just get somebody to get it, I'm done. God bless you. I'm done. And I'm done. I mean, I ain't got to holler, scream, fall out. I like energy and preaching, but I made my point. Supply and demand. It matters if you go from participant or to participant from spectators. All these spectators standing here. You're the lad. Matter of fact, look at your name and say, neighbor. You are the lad's lunch. You got it. Yes, you do. I ain't got that much. Anybody ask you how about that much? You got the loaves and the fish. You got it. I can't take care of the whole ministry. I can't buy no this. I can't build it. Just do what you got. Matter of fact, they got a little saying in the world. Just do you. Second thing. Don't leave mad. Now get your joy. Did I preach anything crooked? I'm not trying to fool nobody. What did I stay in the text? Okay. Then we're getting mad then. I said, man, he got us. Yeah. I got me first. So I mean, I figured it was good for the goose. Not that I'm a goose or anything. But understand me well in this. You are living as a spectator. God wants to use you. All of you, the Jesses, the Carries, the Dorises. Don't sit back thinking to yourself, I'm retired. I'm on a fixed income. I can't give but so much. Then give that much. Whatever your so much number is, give that. And watch what God does. That widow with the two mites. You didn't see her walking up there with this last thing I got. Y'all just going to take all my money. She just walked up there and Jesus said, hey, look at her. Look at her. Just like that little boy. Jesus said, hey, check him out. All I'm saying to you, God wants to use you. We can do anything we desire to do for the kingdom if we fit, just find our start point. Who's that young boy today? Who's got that? I got it. It's my turn, Lord. Trust me in this. God has no respect to a person. You call yourself poor, that's what you said. He calls you rich. You call yourself sick, he calls you healed. You call yourself alone, he calls you a companion. Boy, I wish y'all would listen to me. You got it twisted. So, whatever you stand in need of, our God will supply. Would you come and pray with me today? Come on, our doors have been open. If you wanted to come and be a part of our ministry, you are more than welcome. Even now, still you can come, even now. I encourage you to trust God in this moment. I encourage you to not be concerned about what they're doing. Just be a part of what he's doing. See, one of the things that hinders us is oftentimes we are collaborating with the wrong contemporaries. Instead of joining forces with the little boy, we just stay in the spectator seats. What they doing up there? Why they going? What's going on up there? You go. Come on. Understand me well. This is good ministry for you. We are very familiar with the I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You know, we heard that, right? You know, that text is rich with all manner of ministry. That person is not saying, I just want to stand here. A doorkeeper does a lot of things. But it is also the fact that they are serving in the house of God. And that's really what we're trying to say. Please understand me well in this. You are usable. See, our problem is, I said it earlier in our preparation for giving, that finance plays a part in everything we do. It really does. Right now,
we're burning AEP's power, so we have to pay for that. You know, we've got water and sewer, and even you got shoes on. And some of you have financed your shoes or paid cash for them and clothes. But everything in here has some attachment to it to finance. Some of y'all got your hair done yesterday or Friday, and some of y'all got some growth. Some of y'all say, I got to run by the store before I go home, you know, and put something, make. Some people say make groceries. Some people say whatever. But it's going to all be financed. And every time you do that, you're trusting God to do that. You don't even think about it sometimes, but it's all about God and trusting Him. So don't get to the point of your life and think that because you only got five this or a loaf of this or a granite of that, that it ain't worth nothing. It all matters. It all matters. All you have to do is be willing to be responsible with your resource. And don't renege when He makes His requests. Jesus could have stood up and said, I want everybody that's got money to bring it up here. Not all of them would have came. Jesus could have said, everybody with loaves come up here. Everybody with fish. But He didn't. But trust me in this. What are you going to do when He asks you? What's going to be your response? When God calls for a participant, you going to shuffle to the back? You just going to think, well, this is all I got. I ain't giving up my last. Can I tell you something? If you ever have to make a decision about the last thing you have, give it to Him who is first. Rather than run out of here stealing the tithes from God, if that's the last $2 you got, put it in the kingdom. And you'll walk out that door and you never know what God's going to do. I went to the gas station about 3-4 months ago. This is bottom line. We're going. I went to the gas station. My son pulls up beside me. I pumped my gas. My son pulls up beside me. He said, man, I'm glad I ran into you, Dad. I know what that meant. So I said, all right. So I went around, put my card in, punched in the numbers. I said, go ahead and get you some gas, man, and go on, leave me alone. You know how it is with parents. When your kids get you like that, you have to throw a little. I said, just go on, get out my face now. Just leave me alone. So he pumped his gas. And you know, I went into the store to get a soda or something. By the time I came, he pumped and he was gone. I get ready to put the pump back that I was using because I pump gas, high premium. Got ready to put the pump back, I mean the nozzle back, and I looked. In the, you know, it was right up here at the Wilco. It's 87, 89, and 93. You know, the little nozzle thing. But at the pump, somebody had stuck $100 bill in the little thing where you push to the selection dude. Now, I didn't see that at first. So when I put it, I looked. So first thing I said is what? This fake money. I said, somebody playing. So I reached in and I grabbed it. And I opened it up and I went. I said, well, praise the Lord. It was a $100 bill. I said, well, now, bless His holy name. I got in my car. I came and caught up with Cedric. I said, Cedric, you ain't gonna believe this. Because I was willing to bless you, God bless me. Now, had I been stuck up, snooty, I probably would have never paid that no mind, got an attitude. And you know what he said? That was meant for me. I said, well, so be it. I gave it to him. Didn't I give it to him? I gave it to him. I said, you know what? You might be right, because I didn't need it. I said, well, I'll tell you what. Make good on it. Make good on it. Now, I didn't lose nothing. You got to learn how to let God use you. Maybe God knows my eyes are better than His because He sure can't see worth a darn. But I'm just trying to help you understand something. You can't lose by doing the start thing. Just let God use you. We're going to go. I know y'all got to go.
I appreciate y'all coming today. I really do. Thank y'all for coming. Thank you for coming to share with us. Thank y'all. God bless you. Again, I pray that I've helped you a little bit. I don't know what your supply-demand situation is like. I really don't know. But I can tell you this. You are equipped with the lad's lunch. You are the start point. You're not here today. This sermon was meant for you. You are the start point. In the next level of ministry, the next level of your family life, the next level of your employment, you are the start point. And don't think that what you have is not enough or insignificant, because all of it matters. Again, just be responsible with your resources. Don't renege when he makes his requests. And repent if you had to renege. If you wanted to come up here this afternoon and give and you didn't, because you have already exhausted your resources and you've been that irresponsible, just say, Lord, I am sorry, but never again, Lord, do I want to experience the state of not being able to serve you in my life, with my whole life. It's not about money, children, because that wasn't no money. It was fish and loaves. It's about resource and responsibility. Because God wants more than just your money. He wants your whole life. Just like the widow, she gave out of her living. That's all we need you to do, is to trust God. Prayer request. We're going to go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. She had to go to Philly. Yeah. Yes, sir. Who's that? Oh, yeah. I was going to ask her what happened to her. Where did she go? Huh? She back there? Yeah, okay. We'll have to inquire as to what happened. Yeah. Yes, sir. Mrs. Price told him, I'm sorry to hear that. You had a funeral already? He didn't tell us, man. You had a call. I understand. Yes, ma'am. Lord help. Yes, ma'am. God bless. God bless. Yes, ma'am. We'll do it. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Absolutely. There's room at the cross. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, ma'am. It's gone out here. Yeah, don't hurt no more. Yeah. Good preacher to do that for you. I'm fine now. Yeah. The devil didn't want me to tell y'all this story. Tell her, take it slow. Yeah, very good. Yes, ma'am. Tell him what I told her. There's room at the cross. Tell him, come on. Yes, ma'am. Baby's name.
noticed that many of you are wearing pink. You got the little pink stickers and the Susan B. Coleman cure for the cancer. You know, it's pink. And they didn't tell me to wear pink today, so y'all faked me out. But they told me I ignored them. No, I'm just kidding. But we do want to encourage you. My father is doing radiation treatments, and we've been praying for Brother Johnson as well and others. And you hear that over and over again. You know, we talked about Jasmine last week. The power of prayer.
Amen.
Doesn't care what they call it.
Amen.
And there's nothing impossible.
Amen.
For our God.
Amen.
And I said to you earlier in our closing remarks, you may see yourself as sick, but God sees you as healed.
Amen.
So you have to let your faith be your guide.
Amen.
When you all come in here and you tell us about those persons that we've been praying for, and we hear transition reports and we hear reports of excellence, that's because we have faith. And the Bible reminds us that the just live by that. So we encourage you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
One of them is in the cabin this morning. I got ready to go pick up some people. And the pastor said, we're going to Psalm 37. I got up this morning. My phone had a message from my brother. I know where I am.
Yes, sir.